Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption. Producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich.
Prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Howdy, everybody. This is Eric Stahl, and this is the Liberty Play podcast for December of 2020. Today, we are in Liberty Tower, and around me, going in order to my left, are...
Jacob Irish.
And Donnie Henry.
And your partner in crime, Eve, is wandering through.
She's out of here.
All right, but yeah. She's not going to be on record.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
So the reason we're in Liberty Tower is we just had a meeting with the Libertarian Party... of Peoria County, is that what we're doing now?
That's what we are, yep.
And the Tazewell County gang was there as well, but we had to do it by Zoom. So I have a terrible internet connection, so I show up here at Liberty Tower. But Jake came, I think, for moral support, because you have a decent internet connection, right?
I don't know if decent's the word. Usable connection.
All right.
Yeah. You country boys.
Yeah.
You know what? It's worth every bit of it.
Yeah. No, I don't. That's the only thing I complain about. Everything else is great.
Yeah.
Just that, right?
It's worth every bit. I am in a much better space than Eric is due to my line of sight.
Yeah. But I'm working on that. We'll get to that later in the meeting. Yeah. So thank you, Donnie, for allowing us in your home on
anytime,
this.
Anytime.
All right. So the meeting tonight was on Zoom, and we probably had, about 15 people partake in the meeting?
All right.
Yeah. It wasn't a W.E. Sullivan's as it normally is, unfortunately, but we're managing through COVID doing it this way. You did an admirable job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's about all I could say about it. Hackers and...
Oh, yeah. We did get some hackers in there.
Trolls.
The right-wing trolls. There's never a left-wing troll.
Never. You know, you think that the left-wing trolls are the more apparent ones, but it doesn't seem that way. When push comes to shove, they're right-wingers.
It's definitely, Anyway, it is what it is. So it was a great meeting. Donnie still does his full production value on it, and through the Zoom meeting, you can watch all the notes and watch the PowerPoint presentation. So I have basically the rundown of the meeting here, and there was a couple things. I mean, you had talked about some important Illinois libertarian stuff that's going on right now. Maybe you can share that with the listeners.
Yeah, no, the Libertarian Party of Illinois is still rolling. I mean, we had the election, but we're still firing. We had our budget meeting, and we passed a budget for 2021. And the big takeaway is we're going to be running TV ads. So we have a guy that in the campaign with Danny Maloff. He got pretty involved in running these ads, and he found out that they're really not that expensive to put these ads on Fox News and CNN. And when push comes to shove, if we put a little money towards it, we can put a 30-second ad out and get our name out there. So I think that's the big takeaway from the budget. Everything else is as usual. And then we're going to hire an executive director, which is going to be a primary fundraiser for the party. And if people don't know, Jennifer Pritzker, who is J.B. Pritzker's cousin, was the biggest donor to the Libertarian Party in Q3. So we're hoping that we can reach out to people like that and get some
money. That's wild. Do we know where that money was targeted? Was there an alternate campaign that the money was thrown at?
I don't know the background of that. I saw it in the newsletter, and I saw Jennifer Pritzker, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, the name first, and I'm not trying to be disingenuous to the Pritzker name, but I would assume... And sometimes these situations where maybe somebody throws money in order to, like, skew the election, maybe stick a Republican or something, get the Libertarian more votes.
What I will say, though, is Jennifer Pritzker is a veteran, a military veteran.
Oh, okay.
And so she runs some veteran organizations, and she's against, she's for getting people out of these illegal, unconstitutional wars.
Oh, so maybe it's legitimate donation.
Maybe
that's the problem with politics is you think there's always an ulterior motive.
And there could be. There could be. But I think that we align well with her philosophy based on what I've seen of her.
Okay.
Not that I know her very well.
I think at times you need to be cautious to give too give people too much credit for being smarter than they are, right? Like,
yeah.
Ulterior motives. Like, yeah, I don't think people are quite...
Yeah, no.
That many people.
Well, if you're throwing money around, you better have some knowledge behind it, I suppose.
But yeah. I think that there's people out there like that. Yeah. You know, who knew that the family was divided, the Pritzker family?
No,
you know?
I guess you're right. Yeah. That would be interesting to see. And actually, hopefully by next time we have one of these conversations after the next meeting, maybe we'll know a little bit more about the Pritzkers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. But, you know, the funny thing was about this whole meeting, I don't know if there was 5 or 7 or maybe 10 minutes. It was like a new mascot for Libertarian Party of Peoria County that had to show his cute, snub-nosed little face.
Oh, aww. He's so handsome. He's such a handsome boy. So, Eric, I know that you got a new cat named Sherbert.
No,
right?
But you know what? Sherbert had nothing to do with tonight's meeting,
yeah,
Johnny. Yep. And I was never invited to talk about my cat.
Had I known. Knowing is the only thing. So, yes, even I got a new puppy. He's the most handsome boy in the world, Cato. And I give the background.
He's the best boy.
He really is the best boy. But he, you know, he was named after Cato.
This is why my cat holds no candle to Cato, because Cato not only has ancient Roman roots, you know, of Cato the Younger, but then we have some 1700s Cato.
Well, the Anti-Federalist Papers, of course, Eric.
Yeah. Sorry,
George Clinton. But no, I think
not the Funk Master George Clinton.
No, not okay. That one. Okay. But I do think that the point was that we named him after something. I don't think he'll live up to the name. He'll probably just eat food.
He's got big boots. Use the bathroom, up to film,
you know. But bottom line, the important part of the take home of Cato the Younger is that he was so principled that he would rather die than live under Julius Caesar's rule.
And he did that, correct?
And he stabbed himself in the stomach, and when they tried to stitch him up, he ripped his own intestines out and died.
Wow. That's a great story, and I would name my animal after that.
Principles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like the fact that Cato did make the notes. I mean, that's great. And now, in my mind, and somebody else pointed out the Green Hornet, but Cato was the foil. Well, he wasn't the foil. He was the accomplice to the Pink Panther, Inspector Clouseau. He had Cato as his constant trainer.
And for the young folks out there, he was also in the Hunger Games. Was one of the warriors in the Hunger Games.
That's right. I imagine the warrior, that name came from probably...
Cato the Younger.
Cato the Younger.
Yeah.
Or Inspector Clouseau.
Could be.
Cato the Younger. That's what to say.
Anyway, so we got a new puppy. That's the point.
Yeah, so in the hour-long meeting, that was 7 minutes. Anyway.
What do you want me to fill this thing up with? I'm running via Zoom. I got hackers.
Yeah, that's true.
10%.
Okay, so yeah, let's just delve a few seconds into that. So, I mean, there was almost 20 people in the meeting tonight, and then there was just a little weirdness, a tinge, started showing up. And then next thing you know, I think on your meeting, some words started showing up, and then maybe some illustration showed up on Cato's face.
Yeah.
So, I think would we eject 3 people out of the meeting tonight?
3 people. I inquired. I said, I don't remember the guy's name, but I was like, "Are you here for a real reason?" Or he's like, "Why wouldn't I be? Trump 2020 or Kanye West?"
No, honestly, that was George Floyd.
Yeah, the George Floyd was the Kanye guy.
Said my name is George
Floyd. Well, the George Floyd, I'm like, all right, I can already tell this is going sideways.
Yeah.
But then the Kanye thing came out.
Yeah. But little did he know. How many votes did you get?
Well, you know, the funny, I point this out a lot to my kids because I try to be relative with, you know, my children.
Yeah.
Because they're him. Kanye got 60,000 votes. I cleared, you know, almost 14,000. I got a quarter of the votes of Kanye did for the presidency of the United States.
Legendary.
Yeah. So I think that's legendary. Epic. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well,
anyway. And I was just in Tazewell County. That's how much support I had versus Kanye's presidential bid.
You know you made it when you have 3 hackers rolling in. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, we might start scrutinizing a little bit harder.
Might need
this
to.
On.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, good job on the Zoom meetings. You know, in this day and age, everybody's like, oh, Zoom this, Zoom that, and it is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to set it up, and now you actually had little votes set up.
Yep.
You know, the first time we went through one of these, talk about like, oh, raise your hand and all this other stuff. Oh, it was a nightmare.
Yeah. No,
you did some prep work, man.
I tried to, man. You know what? Here's the thing. The little thing that people don't know is that my biggest fear is awkwardness. I can't handle it. Yes. And so if there's anything I can do to prepare to prevent awkwardness, I will do it. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to make it good. And I still failed.
Yeah,
he's generally awkward. Good audibles in there tonight, yeah, for sure. Well, good,
I had
good audibles.
I had my ex-vice chair at my side.
Well,
there.
Well, so. You know, I when I saw the writing coming up,
what the hell?
What is that? And yeah, it was a good audible. It was cleared out quick.
Yeah,
it was. There was an interesting little poll you had early on in the meeting. It was like, who haunts your nightmares the most? And I think it was Biden, Trump,
McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Yeah, and Pelosi won that.
Pelosi won.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it makes the most sense. I mean, from what I understand, based on what Justin Amash says, that Congress is broken, and so really the Speaker has all the power in the House.
Yeah.
And so I would say that she's the most terrifying.
She might have gained the most in this whole election.
I think so. I think so.
And I think she knows it, which I voted for Pelosi.
I did too.
That is the concern, because she knows what she gained.
Yeah.
Had nothing, you know.
Can I ask you guys something? I know this is off topic and we're going off the script, but I.
This is well oiled script.
Well oiled script we have via pen and paper and old notes. But who the hell at 75 or 80 years old would want to spend their last days in Washington, D.C.?
I don't get it. This is what I'm getting. This is, but this goes back to Donald Trump even running for office.
Yeah.
He ran it because he likes to win.
Yeah.
He won.
Okay.
But why fight so hard to keep it?
Doesn't
make
sense.
You know, no, because.
He's what, 75 now?
Yeah. Time is precious.
Right.
Yeah, and I just, you know, as I close in on 50, I'm like, why would I want to waste the last 25 years of my life dealing with the snakes?
Mm-hmm.
We can get into that later in the podcast. You know, just from what I've experienced in local politics.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the national level. I mean, you literally have to insulate yourself in all directions, and probably in 3 and 4 layers of insulation to not touch all these special interests, these people stabbing at you all the time.
It would be one thing if, like, she was accomplishing things. Like, if things were moving down the track.
No.
But nothing is happening.
No.
And so you're wasting the last years of your life doing nothing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, I guess if the ultimate goal is maybe become president or vice president, there's a chance for that, it sounds like. But
she's 80, 81?
No, she's not.
She's super old.
We're going to Google it right
books.
Now.
Go to the books.
We're Googling it. All right.
How old is Nancy Pelosi?
Nancy Pelosi is 80 years old.
Holy shit.
Told you. I was close.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
80.
Wow.
80.
Wow.
So, I mean, at that point, I mean, here's the... Obviously, the healthcare system in the Congress is superior.
Doing well, yes. Yeah. Well, they have a special Botox plan.
You know. And obviously, you're not taking the Greyhound bus back from D.C. back to California when you have to go talk to your constituents.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, this is off it, but I was Googling it as you were searing it. I share a birthday with them.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
God,
I'm going to remember that, Jake. On your birthday, I'm going to say, God. Cheers to you and Nancy.
She has a freezer full of ice cream. You guys should share that together.
That's right.
You know? I mean, that would be good. That would be
God.
Good.
So.
Anyway. No, but I think the thing was she had the biggest gain by Trump not becoming president.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, that's the conversation for another day. But if they win the Senate... The Democrats were, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. The other thing, you had everybody go around the room and we did some introductions. And, you know, the nice thing is in these meetings, and this is kind of a review of all that, we introduce each other, or we talk about each other. No, we don't. We talk about ourselves. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. If we talked about each other, that'd be off the mic.
Anyway,
yeah. But no, we talk about, you know, who we are, and you always throw out like a little icebreaker question. This one was, who would you like to see as the presidential candidate in 2024 as a libertarian? And interesting. I mean, it went all the way from Vermin, Tulsi, Amash. I mean,
Massey.
Yeah, it was all over the place. So.
Yeah, it was super interesting. And I think that I knew going into it was just a joke question. It was an icebreaker, as you
said.
But
yeah, 4 years out, who knows?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we could not even not be a country. Yeah. We could have like 10 states
the
secede.
The White House
then.
Could be burned to the ground.
Absolutely. So. I mean, Trump could be president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what some of the guys said earlier.
Absolutely.
Before we punted them.
But I think it's exciting to think about because, you know, there's always hope. And that's all I got for that.
No.
There's hope.
Makes sense.
So.
No, it was fun. We did the meme of the month, which was actually pretty PC, but we're not sharing that anymore. You have to come to the meetings or be on the meetings in order to see that.
Got
to
see it. Locker room talk, right?
No, not like that.
No.
Not like Trump's locker room.
Not like
Trump's
locker room. Okay.
Well, locker room talk to me means a whole different thing.
Yes, so let me clarify. it's us joking about the two parties, but we don't want to joke to them, to their face, you know, because we want to invite them in.
It's polarizing.
Polarizing, yes.
Yeah. All right, so then we actually did jump into actual business on the meeting, and Donnie had spent a lot of time going through bylaws. So now that the Peoria County Libertarians and the Tazewell County Libertarians have actually gotten ballot access, we have to have bylaws, and we have to actually have an organization and a structure to it and rules. So you did a great job, and you kind of went through that, and you made dry material actually work.
Well, I don't know about that, but it does work. And basically a lot of it was state laws, state statutes. But ultimately, we're going to try and make this as easy of a transition as possible. And I think we've accomplished that. It still pays to be a member. We still, as a member of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell or Peoria County, can vote on endorsements, participate in parades, issues, you know, like the fair tax issue. So there are still benefits to being a member of our party. So,
yeah. But, I mean, this is structure that I thought was probably already there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is – now it's legit. We have to do some stuff, you know, by state law.
Absolutely. And I think that what I said was the biggest takeaway is that, like, let's say you would have won against David Zimmerman.
Yeah.
If you would have then had to resign or something would have happened, then the party gets to appoint those positions.
Yeah.
So it's important, you know, when we start winning elections, which we will win elections at some point, it gives us a lot of power. As a party, so it's exciting, you know.
No, definitely exciting. And I'll get maybe into towards the end there. We talk about some guys who are actually running for office right now in local elections.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the situation you described there, I would not have had that problem because at the time when I was running in Zimmerman, we didn't really have a formal party in Tazewell County.
Yeah.
We had to worry about it.
Mm-mm.
But it is kind of exciting to think that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and we see it happen all the time. Yeah. You know, Tom Inman ran against a lady, Jennifer Allison. I've already forgot her name, but trying to put it out of my memory. But she was actually in a political appointment from the Democratic Party. Whoever was in there before resigned, and they appointed her. And same thing happened with Chris Buckley's candidate. I don't remember her name either. But bottom line is that the Republican Party got to appoint that county board position because the incumbent that resigned was a Republican. So this is good stuff, you know, and you know.
Yeah. And so we finish up the meeting. The next meeting will be on January 28th, and that's so. Why aren't we doing it earlier in the month?
Well, because I have a job, and although
your job, come on, Donnie.
I know. They're sending me to the swamp, and I'm going to go there. And
I mean, realistically, we'd love to say we're going to be at W.E. Sullivan's on that date, but that's probably not going to happen, vaccine or not. But I mean, it is 6 weeks away. You never know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I'm hoping that the vaccine takes off, or we have a downtick. I'm hoping for the viability of businesses that we're back open.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding my breath, obviously.
No. I did. So side topic. Today it was a carryout type thing. Mm-hmm. It was the Peoria Chamber. No, sorry, Tazewell County. All the chambers. It was Pekin, Morton, East Peoria. They had a carryout challenge. And over the last couple of days, so I went out and I bought four pizzas from Jimbo's Jumbos and brought back to the shop. It was $100 out of my pocket, but you know what? I was happy to take some pictures and share. You know,
I saw that. And you know, I'm good friends with Danny Lohman, and he's a great guy, and love what they do. And
they are not paying a nickel for this endorsement. But I will tell you this: I started as a salesman back at my store back in 1996, and Jimbo's Jumbo was open back then.
Mm-hmm.
So me and a salesman, usually every Friday, would go down and get one of their Italian combo subs.
Okay.
You get that with some marinara and throw a little mayonnaise on it. Oh, my God, it's to die for. Their little hoagie bun, that sausage, I don't know where they get it from, maybe straight from Italy. Anyway, love that place. Well, they shut down for a long, long time. And so Danny came back in there, God, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and brought it back up. I mean, it has this iconic sign out front with the lights flashing. It's right there on Route 29 when you go into downtown Pekin. And they brought back all the recipes. It's got the same hoagies, got the same Italian sausage, and their pizza with their Italian sausage rocks.
That's amazing.
So it's good stuff. And I, you know what? It was $100 for four pizzas, but they were good pizzas. And usually they participate in a dragon card or coupon here or there. I didn't do any of that. I just went in there. Threw my $100, threw $5 in the tip jar, and I was happy to do it. You know, we got to support local businesses because right down the road from Jimbo's Jumbos was Roger's Diner.
Yeah.
The place that I had breakfast the morning of the election.
Mm-hmm. You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
He's done. He basically called it quits. And Jake and I sat down for breakfast that morning of the election. We watched Mom and Dad back in the kitchen. We watched Grandma and the kids up at the counter, you know, rolling napkins, and the kids doing homework on their laptops.
Yep.
Family organization, family business.
All family. And it was, you know, clearly family. And
the local guys were in there having their breakfast and stuff like that, and they basically just got screwed by the Illinois government.
It's horrifying what we've done to small businesses. Yeah. And I saw Bloomington was fining their businesses.
Oh,
there was a guy
progressively going out. Yeah,
there was a guy that was in tears. You know, I mean, they're fighting for their lives, and this is why we do what we do, guys. I mean, we are fighting to protect the liberty that our state government has taken without any authority to do it. You know,
and look at the drive-through lines at fast food.
Yeah,
that's the world we're going to have. We're going to have McDonald's and Walmart.
But
that is it.
I would take away from that and say, you know, we've shut down these small business restaurants and bars, but Walmart is open. And you had a great point the other day, Eric. Yeah. And I'm the same way. I walk through Walmart and touch shit everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, do I want this?
Yeah.
And I'll put it back.
Yeah.
They're not sanitizing
that. Dude, that milk section at Hy-Vee, do you ever go back in that corner of the milk
yeah,
area?
Yeah,
it's tight.
Yeah.
And there's 20 people back
there. Yeah, back there getting milk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't stretch that thing out.
It's arbitrary. Yeah. It's not based on science.
No.
You know, as a libertarian, I'm not for any of the shutdowns.
Yeah.
But I will say this. If you're going to do it, let's not discriminate.
No.
And let's not call somebody essential. Everything's essential.
No.
If you're making a livelihood, it's essential.
The box stores are ridiculous.
But they love this shit.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day, you know, what are we going to end up with? And I said, we're going to end up with the stock market.
Yeah.
Anybody that's on the stock market, you can buy stock.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're thriving right now. They ain't shut down, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's fast food restaurant industry was designed for carry out and drive through. Roger's Diner. Not a chance. My mom and my sister ran the restaurant in Colchester. It's been for the better part
of
40
small
years.
Town in Illinois by Bushnell.
Mm-hmm. If you know Bushnell.
Yes, Eric. Closer to Macomb. But, you know, over the course of the last 50 years, 40 of them, it's been with our family, and it's not going to reopen.
Yeah.
People just didn't come. It was not designed that way. Yeah. And to your point, it's destroying everything. There's nothing else. There's a Casey's in that town.
Yeah.
A Casey's and Dollar General.
Yeah.
That is literally all that's left.
But you can pull open the glass case of the Casey's with your hand and grab a slice of breakfast pizza.
Or put it back. Yeah.
And put it back.
On,
exactly.
Yep.
But that's why we need to fight. I mean, that's exactly what we need
to
fight.
Now, here's the thing. The Bloomington thing, I don't know if you watched. There was a video of, like, a bar over there, but it was a flat-out rave.
Mm-hmm.
And people were videoing it and everything. There was 300 people in a room, you know, that probably could hold 200. And there was a video of it. And I can understand the liquor board and the city being, hey,
come on.
Taking precautions.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, but when I go down to here down in downtown Peoria on Water Street, or I'm down in downtown Pekin, and I'm at a bar, and I watch them separate people, and I watch the bartender, when you're done there, wipe everything down.
Mm-hmm.
That's as safe as it gets.
Absolutely.
I mean, what more can we ask for?
We can't ask for any more. And trust me, I am for, as a libertarian, I'm for whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know the risk. And Thomas Jefferson, that I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery, you know, that whole thing. But at the end of the day, you know, there are restaurants.
That's a great quote, and we need to own that quote.
We own it already.
Why don't we use that quote? I never heard that.
Well, that's because TJ owns it. But Thomas Jefferson was the original gangster libertarian.
Right.
But no, I just think that there are restaurants that are doing the right things as well. And so to shut them down is just, it's crazy, man.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, and you guys watch my social media feed, I've had plenty of events and gone out into local bars and restaurants, stuff like that. And I've gotten blowback, like you can't believe, from friends and family. And I've also gotten support from other people, too. It's just
so divisive.
It's so polarizing.
Yeah.
You know, why can't people just live their lives? You know, here's the deal, and this is what I go back to. If they're not going to be supported, then we have to support them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just shut your business down. When you're actually taking money from customers and taking that money and applying it to rent or to bills or to pay for that keg of beer, you can't tell that guy you can't take customers in. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying let's spend money at the federal level, but at some point you have to acknowledge your responsibility as a state of Illinois. If you're going to tell somebody to shut down their business, then it's on you to keep that guy available.
But it goes farther than that because the government is now saying, well, we're going to take action. And so what do they take action and say? Well, you can't evict people that aren't paying their rent.
Domino.
Yeah. And so now you've got people that are homeowners.
It's the circle of life.
Yeah, and they're like, well, do I have to pay property tax? Yeah, you still got to pay property
tax.
Yeah, because we just can't collect on it. It's crazy. I mean, it's just government creates the problems that they're now trying to fix.
Yeah. It's the analogy of government will break your legs, sell you the wheelchair, and then say, see, without us, you wouldn't be able to get
around. Yeah.
That's exactly what's kind of occurring.
Scary.
Government.
Well, there was a bright spot. So, I'd lost my election, and Caden had lost his election, and Nico... Well, Nico didn't actually run.
He didn't run.
His wife did.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody ran.
Oh, no, sorry, Nico. Sorry, I think of the Gamma. Anyway, no, Caden and I had run, and we did not win our elections over Tazewell County. But in the meantime, now that we've become accustomed with getting signatures and talking to people, I'm running for school board in District 701, and then Caden is running for school board in Pekin School District. So I think that's great. And I talked about this in the last podcast. If you listen deep into that, when Donnie got into a little conversation about the local politicians over there, I'd met Brett Grimm, who was on the school board in Mackinac, and we live 50 yards from each other, spitting distance from each other. And so everything kind of, listen, we live out in the country. We both have kids. We both struggle with internet. Our kids go to DMAC. There's so many similarities, so it made sense, had a great conversation, and ultimately, I may take Brett's seat, on the school board in Deer Creek, Mackinac, which is great.
Yeah.
Does the Libertarian badge matter as much? He's a Republican, and he won the auditor job in Tazewell County, to be clear, from Caden Elms. But isn't it great that we can be two human beings and have conversation and say, you know what? We agree on so much.
I love that. I love the connections that you made with Brett Grimm. And Brett Grimm was Caden's opponent.
Yeah.
And we ran.
And
it'd
be so easy to say, you know what, screw you, dude. Yeah. You're going against my guy.
But doesn't that tell you? And I think that gives us an insight that there are people in the Republican Party that are on the same team as us. They just want a better community.
Yeah.
And those are the people we need to seek out, and those are the people we need to work
with. Well, and I think, I've gone back to this before. If you've listened to me or you listen to anything we've talked about over the years, and certainly 4 years ago when we had our convention or our debate, mm-hmm. our four-party debate,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell the story all the time. I sat at a table with some Green Party people, some Democrats. I don't think the Republicans showed up to that.
No, they didn't.
But we were all local politicians, and we all just wanted the best for our community. It wasn't about... we weren't polarizing about war or abortion or, this or that. It was all about, what can we do to fix the schools? What can we do to fix the roads? I mean, this is at local level. We just want the best for our families and people around us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that this is the next step, and I think it's awesome that you guys stepped up. I think it's awesome that Nico stepped up. He could be on the board.
Yeah, so Nico, what's Nico running
for? Peoria Heights Village Trustee.
Yeah, that's great.
And we elected Brandon Weisenberg, and again, these are nonpartisan elections.
Yeah.
So, and again, it doesn't matter who... what party you run for. It's about the ideas, and so we're hoping to get Brandon Weisenberg some help. In the Heights, and Nico's a smart guy. He's been on the zoning board. He's a vet. I've served with
him. Is Brandon having to rerun right now, or is he?
No, he isn't. Okay. And that's the cool part is he's on a different cycle.
Okay.
So if Nico gets elected now, they'll never really run against each other.
Okay.
So
and you're not having to put all resources into.
Yep. Yep. So we can put it behind Nico. So I think there's a lot of good things in the future. And like we've talked about before, Eric, I think that as we get known, people will realize. And we talk about your opponent, David Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever had any issue with David Zimmerman. I think we agreed with a lot of his policies.
Oh, no, I was on board. And that was the toughest part. I was like, oh, so he had a problem with this, he had a problem with that. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm right there on board. I mean,
right.
Yeah. It's being a fiscal conservative, means looking at your responsibility to the county and saying, I need to stop this.
And I think it's more for us that we just want some fresh ideas and fresh faces in government.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that someone's bad. It just means that we have a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we have the same perspective.
So. No, and that was a funny thing because I've had so many people, and we talked about this earlier, and this is before the podcast, but, dude, 50 people probably walk up. I've always considered myself a bit of a libertarian. You know, I mean, judges from Peoria. I mean, all kinds of crazy people. And I know a lot of people. Even, actually, it was funny, a guy who is, he's the director of Groove up in Peoria Heights.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
No, yeah. I don't know who it is, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, he said, I've never voted libertarian before, but I voted this time.
Yeah.
Because he's probably a hardcore Democrat, but yeah.
I freaking love it.
Yeah.
I freaking love it.
Yeah. It's great. And it's all about the message we were portraying.
I mean,
you know, and that's not, when I say portraying, it almost sounds disingenuous. I mean, we brought something new to the table that people have not seen, you know. Ever?
We had in Peoria County, I can't speak for Tazewell, but yeah, maybe for the Democrats, you had more libertarian candidates on the ballot than Democrats in Tazewell County, and we had more libertarian candidates than Republicans on the ballot in Peoria County.
Yeah. That means a lot.
It's powerful.
Yeah,
I mean, and maybe it'll normalize it, you know?
Yeah. It should be normalized. I saw posts from people on my social media who I haven't spoken to in years, but they were saying things like, hey, there's a lot of libertarians on my ballot. Does anyone know about them? They weren't reaching to me. Maybe they don't follow me. Or I got muted, you know, because I post shit.
Yeah, you're 30 days. right?
But all I did was I got on there and said, hey, you know what you should do is you should go to the site, weareliberty.vote or whatnot. Yeah. And the response I got was, man, it's kind of nice to be able to research the candidates before submitting my ballot. They were doing the mail-in. And it was that post, I won't call the person out, but it was that post that made me realize, holy cow, like, that's the thing that if someone walking into a voting booth 4 years ago, I don't know that name, you're not going to pull out your phone and do your research right then and there.
Right.
You're going to go for what you perceive the safe bet, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe that was a big benefit for us.
But, you know, and we talked about this in the last podcast. This was the election where people could vote a month ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I had many people reach out to me a month ahead of time and say, are you on the ballot? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I was like, oh, well, I got my mail-in ballot. I'm voting for you. And like Donnie and I talked about in that last conversation, we were not ready for that. We did not grab that bull by the horns and just run with it. We had no idea how many people had ballots in their hands a month before the election.
It didn't dawn on me until I was reading what this person was saying. Hey, I can look up these names.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Right, yeah.
And I have weeks to decide.
Exactly.
Versus walking in and saying, oh, I haven't heard of that person.
And that's why this is so important, is that now, instead of us announcing 2 months before and trying to scramble and put a website together, which, by the way, amazing website.
It did the job. It did what it had to do.
But we will have an entire year that stuff will be out there, and maybe this mail-in ballot stuff is good. Maybe it'll help us. You know?
I honestly, if an informed voter, to me, is a better
voter. You know,
I wish there were more.
Yeah. There is, I always believe more that there's more election fraud than voter fraud.
Yeah.
There's more election fraud. I mean, I don't know if we all agree here.
Yeah, no, I
meaning see. That the election process has more fraud than an actual voter being fraudulent, right?
Sure, sure.
So I actually side with the belief that mail-in, especially in this form, was probably a benefit. And it was obviously a benefit across all parties. I mean, the one thing people don't talk about is Trump got 10 more million votes than he did 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. That's not a coincidence.
See, I am a big fan of shaming people for not being informed voters.
Yeah.
Because I am so tired of people just going into the voting booth and saying, well, I'm a Republican, so I'm voting for this. And we had a Libertarian that was on the ballot that ran as a Republican for sheriff, was a transgender Republican candidate that wanted to defund the police, and people nominated her and voted for her because they were uninformed voters.
Uninformed.
You know, and so I just think that it's time that we look at people and say, get informed to vote.
Yeah.
Don't vote if you're not gonna get informed.
That's the hardest thing, because you feel, you know, you're taught as a kid, and not that they even stick to that anymore, I think through middle school, this education, but you're taught that as an 18-year-old, you have the right to vote.
Yeah.
You have the right to get married. You can get a credit card and a credit bureau.
You can do what you want to do.
There's a lot of things you can do, but just because you can doesn't always mean you should. Mm-hmm. And my biggest issue, and I hate to sound like a curmudgeon or an old man who or an entitled person who's trying to protect his wealth or anything like that, but honestly, if there's somebody out there promising free ice cream, mm-hmm. you know, and just doing that because he knows that that's going to get him votes, it's not. It's just that's my word of the night, by the way, disingenuous. It's not fair because you have voters who have they have no idea of economics. They have no idea mm-hmm. of what this translates into decades down the road. You know, they shouldn't vote.
No,
they have no business voting. Just because something feels good doesn't mean you should vote for it. Okay,
right? And it's so funny because we do this. I don't know if you. Well, I can't speak for you guys, but for me. When I go into a voting booth and I see a position, generally I've researched it, but if I see a position I don't know either of them, I skip it.
That's what I
do. Oh, yeah.
You know, I undervote.
I don't vote for that.
I'm an undervoter, or if it's one of those where the judge, I vote him, someone else.
Out.
Somebody else.
Get out of there.
Like, who cares? Like, who? There's somebody else needs to do it.
He's got a pension. I don't care.
Yeah. I agree. So, Shamey. Shame. Get informed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But no, I think everybody needs to. I think you need to know what you're looking at. And I think that the We Are Liberty vote did a great job for us. I think we learned so much. I'm looking forward to a couple years.
I think the mail-in ballots created more informed voters.
Yep, we'll see. And there, you know, that's us. That's on us to break that cycle of people just going and voting RRD.
Yes.
You know? And we will.
Okay. So your dog had the quote to end the night. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Cato the Younger.
In barking, it would have been something different.
Yeah, in doing nothing, men learn to do evil.
Yeah, I think that there's some deep...
It almost goes to that election thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
In doing nothing, you're...
allowing for evil.
You glom on to the easiest prospect, and next thing you know... You got a big pile of poop in your hand.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you got Biden Trump.
Definitely with Cato. That's, I got a big pile of poop on my hand. So.
Where is Cato?
He's asleep.
Where's Cato asleep?
He's right there. He's got the kennel and he's covered and he's out for the night.
Oh, man. Not on the foot of your bed.
Did I say he was the best boy?
He is the best boy. All right. That's all I have for tonight. You guys got anything else you want to add in there?
No.
I would just say thank you to everybody that gave us support this year. You know, it's humbling what we've accomplished, but we couldn't have done it with everybody else out there. So.
Yeah. 2020 is coming to an end. When you said that, I'm like, oh, the year's coming to a close.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah.
March is, I saw a meme, March is 3 months away, and I'm still processing last March.
Me too.
Yeah.
Actually, one other thing I want to note. It's awesome. Jake Irish is now in Tazewell County. So
I
got the former chair of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County in Tazewell County.
You do. But you know what?
What's that?
I just, tonight, Dana Olson announces my vice chair.
I was shocked by that. I feel pretty good about it. Dude,
that's
I love that. Dana grabbed my back any day of the week. I'd love to have her. Dana, move to Tazewell County.
It's much cheaper. Taxes and freedom is just different over there.
Right. But I'll just say, I have
envious.
Nothing to say to that.
Totally.
I just saw.
Did you know that was going to happen?
I had a feeling.
I just saw an article that the sewage fees in Peoria County are going up.
You know what? I don't want to hear it. You know, I've got like a $50 fee for some bullshit over there. At one point I opened it and I don't even know what this shit is, but I guess I'll pay it.
So Peoria County, as a story before we end the podcast, charged me my rainwater tax for the quarter. And they promptly refunded it.
Oh, yeah. Can you bring the rainwater back?
Right. They were pretty quick.
You got to miss it. It's just got to just every once in a while be like, oh, there's a hole in my heart, Peoria County.
Hey,
he's got a look on his face.
No, I grew up in the country, and it's very obvious that that's where my heart belonged, and that's where I belong. Family belongs.
I respect that, but when we make our comeback in Peoria County, you won't be there for it, and that's okay.
You know, you'll be helping me over in Tazewell. Yeah. It's all good.
I'll be shooting guns in my own yard.
Well, you got that. Really, honestly, I want to say something witty, but I
can't. He just wants to be in Tazewell County. That's what he wants. Yeah, anyway. So, I think the takeaway was I'm running for the board chair, and then you're going to be vice. Yep. We're looking at Caden maybe as secretary and Teresa as treasurer. Is
I
that
think that's what case? Or no, no, no. I think Damon's going to do secretary. Damon's doing secretary.
Okay, I thought Caden was going to be involved somewhere in there.
I have no idea.
All right. So anyway, all right. So I think we've done everything here. We've talked about.
We've said it all.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for hanging in there with us. I know we got a little spotty there the last couple months, but man, it was if you were on this side of it. Especially running for office, even running for office again at school board, you can't even imagine the insanity.
Yeah.
It seems so pedestrian. It's just like, oh, I'm going to help the school. How can there be that much drama at that level? But folks, I almost got shot and thrown off the yard, and holy smoke.
The one downside of Tazewell County.
True story.
You could get shot off.
Oh, so people have guns. There ain't no downside.
It's the end of the podcast. Let me tell the story.
Yeah, go for it.
Can I do that?
If you're still there,
yeah,
you get the
still
story.
Listening.
At this point. So I had to get 50 signatures to be on the ballot for school board. And I live outside of Tremont, between Mackinac and Tremont. And I'd met some great people. And just I'm going house to house. You know, if they got a dog running around, I wasn't too worried. If it's outside, I figured it's a friendly dog. So I roll up to this house. And these people were so nice. The woman was so nice. Like, oh, come on inside. And so I'm talking to her and her husband. And they're like, oh, you know, if people go too fast. You know, if you get on the county board, which I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm school board. Mm-hmm. But she's like, well, but if you talk to the county board, I'm like, well, I'm trying to talk about, you know, telecommunications. She's like, we got too many people going up and down this road, blah, blah, blah. I spent 35, 40 minutes in these people's house. This is what you do to get two signatures.
We'll
do anything. Because I remember one time I was at somebody's house, and the guy's like, yeah, I'll sign. I'm like, is your wife inside? Because I could use that extra signature, knowing that every time you talk to somebody, that extra signature matters. Well, anyway, I'm talking to these two people, spent 40 minutes in their house, and they're like, and I'm like, how about your neighbors? Anybody else around? Anybody else you think would sign this? And the folks are like, oh. Well, there's Leonard. He lives behind us. He's a little weird, but he'll probably sign your petition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. So they tell me where Leonard lives. It's just, it's like one.
I love his name is Leonard, by the way.
Well, and I'm not, that's his real name. His last name I don't know because he didn't sign my petition.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I go up Leonard's driveway, and Leonard's got a nice little house.
Tra-la-la.
Yeah. And Leonard's walking down his driveway, and towards me as I'm pulling up in my van, and borrowed van. But anyway, I pull up, and he's like, can I help you? He's got a friend with him, too. They're walking their dog or something like that. And neighbors, such and such, said that you must be Leonard. He goes, yeah, I'm Leonard. Okay. Hey, Leonard, my name's Eric Stahl. I'm running for school board for DMAC 701, and I just need some signatures to get on the ballot in April. And he's wearing a Carhartt jacket, white-haired guy, got probably a seed corn hat on. But the house is neat and tidy. It's just like a little single. It almost looks like a homeway home. But everything's nice. And I'm like, he looks at me. He goes, well, let me ask you one question. What's that, Leonard? He goes, do you pledge your allegiance to the current president-elect? And I'm like, what does that have to do with what I'm doing? I didn't say that, though. I said, listen, Leonard, I live here in this area, and I work in retail, and I have to put food on the table for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So the current president-elect is going to be respected by me because I have to do what I have to do to survive for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, if you don't support DT, then you can get the F off my lawn.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm like,
yeah.
All right. Well, I'm out of here. I didn't even argue with the guy, you know, and maybe I went too deep into my, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing. But he didn't want to hear about the school board and DMAC. He only wanted to hear about national politics, which makes no sense.
You remember when we talked about uninformed voters?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of them. You know, because these people, they're so obsessed with the cable news cycle.
Yeah.
That they can't.
That's
even,
it.
They
He's don't watch too much Fox News.
And this is why the Trump supporters, although I admire their passion, I mean, I really do. Mm-hmm. I really admire their passion. This is why the Republican Party will go back to the way it always was, is because none of them are involved in their local politics.
How does Trump draw that much emotion out of people, though? If you throw down the diagnostics of it and you say, this is your candidate here, let's put all the pieces together and show you who you got here, the New York Republican.
Yeah.
How can a guy in Mackinac get that violently upset about it?
Yeah,
all right, let me hear it, Jake.
I want you
to speak directly to Leonard.
Okay, Leonard... no matter who you are probably on a form of social media, or you may use features on a computer like Google Chrome or any other internet browser. And if you search a term, Donald Trump is great, that is literally what you are. You are fed that. Mm-hmm. And I think what we are seeing is more of a product of algorithms, mm-hmm. and things that are forced to you than actual broadcast news media. The Fox News that has some of the lowest viewership it's had in 4 years, and all television has some of the lowest viewership it's had, but yet we have social media that has the highest usage. And it's a shame, because on the opposite end, you have the people who searched one time Donald Trump is a racist, and now that's all they see. I think people like you, Leonard, as I'm speaking to you, believe that what you are seeing on your Facebook, or what you are seeing being advertised to you on any of your digital platforms, is what everybody is seeing. But the reality is, it's just you, Leonard. You're by yourself. It's only you seeing.
Jake, can I just say, and to Leonard as well, I think we're just scratching the surface of Leonard. And the reason I say that is I think that you're right. But I think, Leonard, to your credit, I think that you are tired of having a system that's stacked against you.
True.
And so I think
he looked at the alternative and just saw everything that's horrible about society crashing mm-hmm. down on him. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
But I'm saying that as a whole.
But
I
that's
think
what
that
he gets.
Has what yeah. has caused
well,
the
it's what's
severity.
Caused, it's caused yeah. everything. That's why people wouldn't look at a libertarian. I think people have done the social pigeonholing, you know, because they've isolated themselves by going onto Fox and looking at Trump, and vice versa, looking at Kamala, looking at Biden. And by doing that, you're force-fed all these different news mm-hmm. sources that never let you look at anything else.
I'll steal this from Chad Grimm, and what he said was very relevant. And when Chad Grimm says something relevant, I got to say,
all right, jump on that.
He said that people identify as their party first and American second. You say, when someone says, what are you? You don't say American, you say I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat.
God, that's true.
And it's sad because that's not what the founders ever wanted. George Washington said, don't do political factions. And as soon as he left, they were like, party time. You know,
it's just, it's...
Wigs, baby.
Yeah, the wigs.
But I'll say this, I think there's a podcast out there with me on it, probably a year and a half ago, talking about these algorithms. It was before the gubernatorial election. I was talking about algorithms and what social media is potentially to cause. It may have been one of our early ones 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now there is documentaries on, I think Netflix has got one. I think there's one on Hulu that talk about this. And this is something that I saw back around 2013, 2014, working in the mobile industry, where on the backside of it, there were things that your phone used to be automatically in sync with your social media, meaning you could post one status for all these social medias, and they pulled it. And then they changed the terms and conditions, and if you read those terms and conditions from about 6 years ago, they have access to your information off of the app. Mm-hmm. Whereas before they did not. So anyway, this is just my toot my own horn on. It's about 2 years ago I talked about it.
Oh. And
but go into Netflix, watch it. But that is what is causing this extremity. You don't support this person. Get the fuck off
and
my phone.
You know how you know that he knows what he's talking about? And you guys can't see this. He has two phones sitting in front of him.
He does.
I do.
Does.
So you know he knows.
Got two phones.
Yep. So
and an empty beer. So I guess with that,
yes,
let's probably wrap this thing up. Anything else we need to touch, gentlemen?
Again, thank you.
Yeah. No, great job. You, like I said, you made politics actually not so terrible tonight when you went through the bylaws, so congratulations
well,
to you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
not it's going to be your burden soon.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that's everything I got. Again, my name is Eric Stahl, and around the table to my left is
Jacob Irish
and Donnie Henry.
And we will see you after the January 28th meeting.
Yes.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.